The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Elbert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled, The Socialist Strategy. I came by this rant in a way that's fairly new for me. To show you how technologically savvy I am, I just got to the point where I'm active on Facebook. And I was so, I won't say shocked, but I was kind of surprised at the amount of how should I say it? Mind shaping? I won't say BS. The amount of mind shaping that goes on Facebook. Now, I just recently got into a verbal disagreement, exchange, battle, war. I don't know what you call it. But this guy, and I won't put his name out there, but if he ever listens to this podcast, he'll know who he is. Going back and forth with him on Facebook posts, we've gotten into some arguments about the social problems in America. And I've come to believe that this guy is a socialist and possibly an anarchist who, at least this is the impression he gives me, is totally disaffected, totally dissatisfied with the status quo. He doesn't come out and say it, but I think he believes the 1% has so corrupted America and the American dream that there is no recourse but to tear it down or replace it with something that's fair or more equitable. Now, I don't want to put words in his mouth. And like I said, this is just the impression that I've gotten of him. And I may be totally wrong. And he's not the only one. There are several others who I have come to believe, and which is the basis for this rant, they comprise the socialist strategy. And that strategy is to make as many people as possible dependent on the government. Now, they couch it in noble sounding causes like the 1% has accumulated all this money and the other 99% working stiffs don't have anything. Never mind that this guy and his sycophants probably live fairly well, because I get the impression he's a very intelligent guy. I know he's a hell of a researcher because he comes up with all kinds of article statistics and other information to support his position. But when you strip it all away, basically, he's a liberal, diehard socialist anarchist. And they believe, for some reason, that if they tear down what we have in America, that it's going to be replaced with something better. Now, who would govern the socialist state? Who would be in charge? I don't know. And I doubt if they know. Because in their ideology, as long as one group of people doesn't have more than another group, I don't think they care. This is the irony of the whole socialist movement. There has never been a socialist or a communist movement that has not had a ruling elite. And so what they want to do is
basically contrary to human nature.
Even if you somehow brought about an earthquake of a transformation in America and it formed a socialist state, trust me, the ruling elite who rule now will be the ones who will rule a socialist state. Look at the Soviet Union, the ultimate socialist state. When it collapsed, guess who's in power now? The oligarchs, the ones who were the Communist Party bigwigs, they are now the rulers of Russia. Look at China. China is communist in name only. But basically what you have in China is a corporate state. I mean, look at what they're doing. It's a corporate state run amok to the point where they're poisoning their own atmosphere in their quest for greater and greater wealth.
Hell, look at America. The European immigrants fled the authoritarian rule of the English and the European monarchies, and they set up a system on the continent of America that gave white men a privileged position in society and set up a ruling elite. It's just ironic to me that we have people like this guy, and he's probably a likable guy. I like the way his mind works. He has a very logical mind. He's very organized. And if he was someone that I had to work with, we would probably be frenemies. We would never be really close friends because our ideologies are so far apart. We would always be at each other. We'd always be at loggerheads. But I think we would have some interesting conversations. But the really dangerous part about the socialist strategy is it's grown out of a group of people who I think, like this guy, are frustrated wannabe one percenters. They have education, they probably have multiple degrees, maybe PhDs. A lot of them teach in universities. And because they are intelligent, because they have all these degrees, they are frustrated and they're angry because they see themselves as better than the common man, yet they're dependent on a paycheck. And I believe that is the sun source of socialism. These are highly educated people in most cases, who don't have the entrepreneurial spirit, never had a flash of genius that they could turn into a fortune, don't have the guts and the wherewithal to risk it all and to put 15, 16, 18 hours a day in on the business for 5 years before it catches fire. And so they're frustrated. They see other people get rich, some with virtually no education. Some of them dropped out of college, but they had their spark of genius. And these socialists, they are people who wish that they had what the 1%ers have. And because they don't have it and they feel they'll never have it, they resent the 1%ers and they want to tear them down. And they use poor people to try to take from the 1%ers out of envy what they don't have. And one of the most dangerous parts about this is that they've co-opted the civil rights movement. They have turned the civil rights movement around and made it like a conflict, a struggle, a war between the downtrodden black people still suffering from racism and a denied upward mobility by discrimination and all the, you know the spiel. Well, they've co-opted that movement and they have folded it into the socialist strategy and are using it to try to shake down the rich, the 1%ers, and to take from them and give it to people who haven't worked for it, be they black, white, or brown, or yellow, for that matter. And if you listen to these people, these socialists, they will give you an argument that's couched in religious principles that are perverted religious principles. Because, well, I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm not even a religious person. I am agnostic almost to the point of being atheist. I'm still waiting for proof. But over the years, I have read various passages out of the Bible. I have one in my reference library. And what I've gotten out of the mythical Christ said, or he promoted giving of yourself, not taking from someone else and giving it to the poor, giving of your own to the poor. He also advocated teaching people to fish. And the modern day allegory is teaching them to work, not give them something for nothing. I don't think if Christ were real and here today, I don't think he would be pleased with the welfare state, because that's not teaching people to fish. That's giving them sustenance and treating them like pets. But the socialist strategy, the way I see it, has co-opted the civil rights movement, has rolled perverted Christian principles into their strategy, and this is what I see being promoted over Facebook and other venues on the internet. The Caucasians suffering from white guilt and the African Americans who are suffering black rage and hatred for the system have banded together in an unholy alliance. It is alive and well and growing on the internet. That kind of surprised me because I wasn't really aware of that till I got involved in Facebook. And there are a lot of committed socialist networks out there. I've gotten into some really heated conversations on Facebook, and you know, the typical liberal socialist, if you disagree with them, but around about the fourth or fifth post, they run out of puppet things, they run out of their stock phrases, and then they start calling your names like a Fox bot, you know, something like that. It's really kind of comical. They make me laugh, really. The last piece of the socialist strategy, and I think the most dangerous, is they've folded climate change hysteria into the socialist strategy as a way to extract wealth from the one percenters. Now, I have to be careful here because to some extent, I kind of agree with some of their philosophy because I think it's wrong and I think it borders on criminal for the Congress to have enacted tax breaks for corporations that take jobs overseas, manufacture products using foreign labor, ship them back to this country, and then sell them to the people who they rooked out of a job for 10 times what it cost them to make it overseas. I think that is absolutely wrong. And on that particular issue and others, I kind of agree with the socialist strategy. I think corporations should be held accountable for polluting the environment. They should be made to clean up any pollution or any damage they do to the environment. Simple as that. And there are others. And that, to me, is part of the danger of the socialist strategy because there is enough corruption, double dealing, selling out, misusing, downright cheating, stealing, whatever you want to term it, that goes on that help the rich get richer. And it's kind of easy for the socialists to sell their agenda because it has a bit of truth in it. And there are members of the elite, the one percenters, who have taken unfair advantage of this system and the greed of our representatives in the federal government. And they have turned the U.S. Treasury into a cash cow. They, with the help of the lobbyists and the crooked politicians, the weak, unstatesmanlike presidents we've had for the last 20, 30 years, it's got to the point where it's created a fertile ground for the socialist strategy. That's why I see that it will be somewhat successful. Will it bring forth a socialist state in America? I don't think so, because at its core, it's unfair. Because think about it. Even if you confiscated every bit of the wealth of the wealthy, it wouldn't be enough. Take Bill Gates. Last time I heard, he's worth about $50 billion, maybe more, I don't know. But let's just use $50 billion. And what if we take 100% of his money and we give it to the bottom third of the population, 105 million. And if we divide that equally among those, I mean, each one of those persons of the bottom third of the population on the economic, socioeconomic ladder would only get about $300 or $400. That's enough to feed them for a couple of months. And then you go to the next richest man, maybe Buffett. He might have 40, 45 million. And you take every bit of wealth he has, and that'll feed the poor, the bottom third, for another month or two. But you can see where this is going. Even if you confiscated 100% of the wealth of the richest people, you might get what? A half a trillion? The government would spend that much in a year or two. And then that is the danger of the socialist strategy. And this is their real goal. Because after they take down the rich or fleece the rich, and then they'd have to come after the middle class, and that's where the real money is, not the rich. And that is, I think, is the real goal of the socialist strategy, is to bring down the middle class, the upper middle class and the middle class, to bring them down a notch, to make them equal or nearly equal to the people on the lower socioeconomic rungs. That is the real target, the real agenda of the socialist strategy. They won't say that. They use the one percenters as a Trojan horse strategy because there aren't that many rich people. The one percenters are just that, 1%, a couple of million people. But it's the middle class. That's where the real wealth is. And that's what the socialists are after. Now, at this point, some of you might be thinking I'm just whistling Dixie or giving voice to unreasonable fears. But go on the internet and Google socialist gas station, and you will see that it already has a physical, a social, and an economic manifestation. There is a group of socialists who have banded together to form a socialist, a fuel cooperative. They could have called this organization anything, any word in the dictionary, any adjective, but they chose socialist, and they chose it for a good reason, because this, I believe, is the first shot across the bow. They are taking an economic issue, which is rising gas prices, and they have used that to bootstrap, to get a foothold in the lower socioeconomic communities. They make no bones about it. They are socialists. And I predict this is going to catch on, because it has some appeal, because I believe the oil companies are kind of gouging us, you know, to some extent. And so there's fertile ground there. Mark my words, this is just the first step. And as the socialist strategy entices more and more disaffected, frustrated, envious, jealous Americans, and convince them that their lot in life is a result of the 1%, as we have a president that has pretty much given up on controlling the borders, and you have even more poor illegal immigrants flooding the country, the socialist strategy will, in my estimation, set into motion what could be a second civil war in this country. Because for certain, the 1%ers, the people in the upper middle class and the middle class, they are not going to roll over and let this happen. And I perceive at some time in the future, and it may be a decade or two from now, we will see a confrontation, a conflict, or possibly another civil war. The final outcome is unpredictable, but for sure, the socialist strategy will have grave consequences for life in America. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from The Edge.